And we hear that from young people as well. They're struggling with a lot outside of school.
How is the mental health crisis affecting engagement in schools? Then,
the climbers are there to do this incredible mountaineering feat, calling on all their reserves of physical and emotional strength, and I had to do that in my role.
How a medical student became a doctor for a Mount Everest expedition. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Engaging students in elementary and high schools has long posed a challenge, but today's landscape is more complex than ever. With smartphones, social media, and countless other distractions, many kids struggle to stay focused in the classroom. According to a recent Gallup poll, nearly half of Gen Z students in grades K to 12 report not feeling engaged in school. And of the kids surveyed, only 49% said their schoolwork challenged them. While a lack of interest in learning isn't new, the question remains, why are so many struggling to stay engaged?
So it's hard to say exactly why issues of engagement seem to be worse now. The pandemic seems to be one part of that story, with students' achievement and their social emotional health being lower than before. But even beyond the pandemic, the world is probably just a more stressful place. Things like social media, existential crises around climate change, an increasingly polarized society. And I'd add to that list, like the rapid pace of work and information exchange because of technology, all create stressors for students and teachers that interfere with students' engagement and teachers' effective support for it.
That's Erica Patel. She says that many students have struggled to adjust to in-person learning after attending school online during the pandemic. Robin Lake, director of the Center on Reinventing Public Education, says that overall there has been a rise in the number of students experiencing mental health issues.
We see this profound disconnect between the number of students who we think really need interventions and supports for mental health and the capacity that schools say they have to deliver on that.
Right now, the average student-to-counselor ratio in the U.S. is more than 380 to 1. That's according to the American School Counselor Association.
That really brings me to the conclusion that we need to get a lot more creative and sophisticated in how we deliver those supports, drawing on community resources, counselors, mental health providers, better integrating their supports with schools, but also not taking away from schools' focus on learning and focused learning and high expectations.
Lake says that without individual attention, many students end up falling through the cracks. For kids who are already suffering, bad grades can make their mental health even worse, creating a vicious cycle that's hard to escape.
So if kids are falling back in academic success, which we know they are according to the test score data, they have fallen back quite a lot, that can be really dispiriting to young people who are not given the supports to get back on track academically. It can cause anxiety, it can cause them to not want to go to school and to feel more isolated.
And it's not just students having a hard time, teachers are too. Reporting from Chalkbeat found teachers have experienced higher stress and lower morale since the start of the pandemic. And as more teachers have become burned out or left the profession, remaining educators have had less time and training on how to keep students engaged in the classroom. Professor Erica Patel explains.
We still see somewhere between like 40 and 50% of teachers indicating that they rarely or even never use certain key practices that we know are supportive of engagement. So strategies like providing choices or incorporating students' interests and goals into learning activities, contextualizing learning in terms of its significance to students' like real lives, or being aware of students' cultures and promoting awareness of culture. And these are strategies that teachers report they use way less often across the nation. And over 40% of teachers that we've surveyed also report that they use some strategies that our research suggests can actually have undesirable effects on engagement. These are things like suppressing student perspectives or assigning a lot of busy work or emphasizing grades.
Robin Lake says some schools have not been able to adjust in the post-pandemic world.
Well, our schools haven't changed in decades, and the reality for kids has changed a lot. That's part of the issue, is public schools were built for sameness, and they haven't always kept up with how the world has changed. And so the traditional lectures and ways of accessing information are not always feel really exciting to young people, nor do they always feel really relevant. They might be questioning, you know, how is this going to help me get me a job or succeed in college? And that's not always clear.
One potential way to engage with Gen Z students is to focus on subjects they are genuinely interested in learning about. Lake says schools should cover the core classes while also adding in topics they know students will be excited by.
There are a lot of exciting things happening in the world that kids want to be tapping into. A lot of innovations out there, a lot of developments around AI, social justice issues around climate change and other things that they want to be engaging in, talking about, preparing for, figuring out how to be a problem solver. And the kind of rote curriculum that we've been delivering in our schools, they're not finding particularly exciting, relevant. It doesn't have to be that way, though. Students will check in, they will engage, they will show up if we give them really relevant and exciting material and challenging material, high expectations, and a lot of support. That's always key.
In addition to revising the curriculum, Lake suggests schools should provide extracurriculars for students no matter what their passions are. Many kids are interested in fine arts, yet many schools are lacking in music, theater, and dance departments. She also says special attention should be given to students who are not planning to attend college. Though disengagement is a problem across the board, the Gallup poll found that certain groups of students are faring significantly worse than their peers. As Patel points out, this is not a new trend.
There's a really long history of research and that suggests that some groups of students experience lower quality instruction and less support for their motivation and engagement in a variety of ways. This particularly applies to students of color and students from lower socioeconomic status backgrounds.
Both Lake and Patel agree that schools and teachers have changes to make, but the work doesn't stop once the school day ends. For these reforms to be truly successful, Lake says students need to be supported at school and home.
Support really, really matters, and the teacher can't provide all that support themselves. So parents are important to that equation, both in expectations and supporting dreams, but also providing support at home so that, you know, if kids are struggling, either the parent is going and really advocating on behalf of the student or finding a way to give them the support.
Although educators and parents carry a lot of the responsibility, Lake says students also need to try to speak up for themselves and their needs. By advocating for themselves and their needs, researchers like Lake can work to find solutions before it's too late.
Young people need to tell us what they need and need to be assertive and kind of demanding more relevant, more engaging, and more challenging school environments, because It's their future, and we want to be able to help make it possible. So we need youth support to be able to make that change.
To find out more about Robin Lake, Erica Patel, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by Grace Galante. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is brought to you by Chevrolet. For 8 years, the Chevrolet Discover the Unexpected Fellowship has been powering the futures of students from HBCUs. Together, these amazing fellows drive their legacy with a $10,000 scholarship, hands-on mentorship, and the internship of a lifetime. To learn more, visit nnpa.org/ChevyDTU.
Coming up, a young doctor's unlikely adventure when Viewpoints returns.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Our new KFC three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce are just $5. A deal so tasty, our competitors might consider switching sides.
So no one will recognize me if I say how much I love your 11 herbs and spices.
Nope, I added a filter to your voice.
Sounds like it's only on your voice.
No, it's on your voice. Wait.
Let the chicken tender battles begin. Try the new three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce for $5. Only at KFC. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
You can do it all by yourself, baby girl. What's your name? Let me talk to you. Let me buy you a drink. Whoa!
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
The words Mount Everest are synonymous with personal challenge. For countless climbers, scaling the world's tallest peak at more than 29,000 feet has been a lifelong dream. But reaching the summit requires months of training and preparation, support from local guides, significant financial resources, and even a bit of luck. Today, around 600 people reach the top of Mount Everest every year. That's according to National Geographic. Just a few decades ago, that number was closer to a few dozen per year. Equally rare in those days were medical personnel who also had the skills to make it up the mountain. So in the 1980s, when a young medical student was asked to join a small expedition as the team's doctor, she knew she couldn't pass up the opportunity.
I was a 25-year-old medical student studying in the Bronx. I had grown up in New York City. So not your typical mountaineering type of person, but when I was invited to be the medical person for this climb, I just couldn't pass up the opportunity. I thought it was a once in a lifetime opportunity, which it ended up being. But what I often say is me serving as the doctor while still a medical student was sort of like my Everest.
That's Dr. Mimi Zeman. She writes about her experience in her memoir, Tap Dancing on Mount Everest, A Young Doctor's Unlikely Adventure. Zeman became interested in mountain climbing when she attended college in Denver, and at age 22, she completed a solo hiking trip through Nepal. When the Everest crew learned of her Nepal expedition, they thought Zeman would be a welcome addition to their team.
Now, I had met them after several months of hiking, so they kind of saw what I was capable of physically and decided to trust in that.
But Zeman didn't know anything about high-altitude medicine. She was still a student and had only a year and a half to prepare for the trip.
I went to the library and photocopied articles, and I sort of learned everything about high-altitude medicine that was written up to that time in terms of prevention, the sort of conditions we would likely encounter, how to treat them. And, you know, I studied sort of every night and weekend during that time preparing.
Zeman says the most common high-altitude sickness she prepared for was mountain sickness, which can happen any time you're high above sea level. But when Zeman and the crew arrived in Tibet, some of the climbers quickly experienced upper respiratory infections and more serious conditions.
One of our climbers was high up on the mountain and showing symptoms of high-altitude pulmonary edema and cerebral edema. Those are the most serious high-altitude conditions. And he was cognizant enough to know he needed to descend immediately. By the time he got to me, which was many, many thousands of feet below him, he was mostly cured. In contrast, the climbers that had severe frostbite that got back to me was something that I had to treat.
The climbers were at an even greater risk of medical issues because they were ascending the mountain without supplemental oxygen.
And we were on the most remote face of Everest, the east face in Tibet. We saw no other people for several months. So that's a little different than what you imagine today when you see those long lines on Everest in Nepal. So we were isolated. And because they had no supplemental oxygen going to extreme altitudes, they were very at risk.
Zeman spent most of her time at the team's base camp, located at an altitude of around 18,000 feet. She says she slept in down overalls with hot water bottles and a parka every night. In addition to the unrelenting frigid temperatures, Zeman was also in constant fear of avalanches.
One of the chapters in my book is How to Ride an Avalanche. And you're supposed to put your feet downhill, tuck your arms in close, keep your ice axe nearby in case you can use it to stop your fall. I was never in an avalanche. We experienced 12 to 15 avalanches a day coming down from Everest and the surrounding mountains, not usually reaching our camp, but hearing the most loud sound you can possibly imagine.
But the scariest moment for Zeman was when three of the climbers disappeared for days. She says she feared the worst.
We waited days for them, and we felt that there was no longer a way they could still be alive. They were in the death zone, which is an extreme elevation above 8,000 meters, and we packed up camp, and that was devastating. The three climbers that were missing did eventually return to us and had severe frostbite.
All three climbers had several of their fingers and toes amputated as a result of frostbite. Out of the team, only one member made it to the summit.
These were very experienced high-altitude mountaineers. Again, unlike what you see in those long lines in Nepal nowadays. You couldn't go to Everest in those days unless you had a very experienced CV of climbing. So they had been with people in the past who had perished on mountaineering trips. They had seen frostbite. They knew all the risks very well. This was their passion. This is what they lived for.
Although Zeman never returned to the Himalayas, more than two decades later, she says any mountain is her happy place.
It's a very spiritual place to be in the Himalayas. What drew me was that vastness, that quiet, that stillness, that beauty. I try to capture all of that in the book. And I think when we can connect with nature in that way, we also connect with deeper parts of ourselves. I also believe that the risks I took and even the devastation helped me connect with the deeper parts of myself and made me stronger. And so I do believe part of why I wrote the book too is that it is worth following your passions, even if it involves some fear and risk sometimes, if it will help you reach some of those deeper places in yourself.
Mimi Zeman's book, Tap Dancing on Mount Everest, A Young Doctor's Unlikely Adventure, is available now online and in select bookstores. To find out more about our guests this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our lead producer is Libby Foster. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is brought to you by Capital One. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as, bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Are dating apps out? For the last 10 plus years, people have downloaded apps like Tinder, Bumble, and Hinge to meet other singles and hopefully find love. Go back to 2009, and Grindr was the first dating app to launch and help gay men match with other singles nearby. In 2012, Tinder, an online dating app catered to both men and women, joined the space. It quickly gained traction, and soon singles all over the U.S. were hooked on swiping, hoping to find that potential match. Fast forward to today, and some believe that dating apps are past their prime. Users are fed up and burnt out with the monotonous cycle of swiping, messaging, and suffering through lackluster dates. Many people also feel that the apps just aren't as good as they used to be. The algorithms are more selective, and most platforms are always pushing users to upgrade from a free to a paid subscription. These benefits include more matches and boosted visibility in front of accounts that typically get a lot of attention. Many relationship experts also argue that these apps, filled with endless profiles, have led to a culture of indecisiveness. Some people may feel like there's always someone better out there, so why settle? In this confusing dating landscape, what's the best option out there right now? There's no one answer, but some singles are deleting their online profiles to try and forge meaningful connections in real life. This could mean attending speed dating events, saying yes to that blind date set up by a mutual friend, or striking up a conversation at the bar. Everyone's story looks a little different. Who knows? Maybe a few years from now, dating apps will be back in their golden era. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Science fiction is a genre that seems to lend itself especially well to the anthology format. For generations, versions of The Twilight Zone have enticed audiences with glimpses at what the world could look like in the future,
and a similar format was adopted by the UK Channel 4 and Netflix series Black Mirror, which has boomed in popularity over the past few years, with episodes that revolve around a technological development that often, or maybe always, points society in the wrong direction. Now, Amazon is offering a similar series of speculative fiction anthology entries for readers. In a series of 6 short novellas that collectively make up what Amazon calls the Forward Collection, notable authors take their stabs at predicting the future within the realm of fiction.
Authors including Blake Crouch, Veronica Roth, Andy Weir, and more have each written stories that vary in length from 27 pages to 74 pages. Roth's installment tells the story of a researcher helping prepare for a mass exodus from Earth as an imminent comet strike threatens to wipe out the planet's ecosystem. Crouch's tackles a video game developer who grows obsessed with one of her characters. Each of the six stories can be easily digested in one sitting, much like an episode of Black Mirror, and Amazon even offers audiobook versions, so you can listen to them on a run or a bike ride or just a long drive. There's something undeniably fun about looking through someone else's eyes at where the future might take us. It's long been the appeal of shows like The Twilight Zone and Black Mirror, and now Amazon is giving readers a similar experience by way of the written word. It's a cool experiment that serves to highlight some of the exciting names working in fiction and offers some bite-sized entertainment that can be consumed in a marathon afternoon or over the course of six evenings. The Forward Collection is available as both ebooks and audiobooks on Amazon.com, and the collection is offered for free to Amazon Prime members. I'm Evan Rook.
Our new KFC three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce are just $5. A deal so tasty, our competitors might consider switching sides.
So no one will recognize me if I say how much I love your 11 herbs and spices.
Nope, I added a filter to your voice.
Sounds like it's only on your voice.
No, it's on your voice. Wait.
Let the chicken tender battles begin. Try the new three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce for $5. Only at KFC. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly sunny and a bit breezy for today with south winds up to 20 miles per hour, highs in the upper 50s. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows in the upper 30s to near 40. On Monday, a few showers and breezy, highs in the mid-60s.
Right now, it's 43.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, is spray-on skin the future of reconstructive surgery?
It's kind of like a mister, if you picture it. When you mist in spring in the hot summer weather and you're trying to put some cooling agent onto your skin, that's kind of how the spray skin solution works too.
But first, with so many prescription drugs being imported, is the current oversight enough to protect Americans?
What I have been concerned about is that there appear to be some significant challenges with transparency.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Family time and get-togethers are where memories are made. Like when Gail and Ed whooped everyone at the card table. But RSV can leave them out of the game, especially if they're 75 plus or over 60 with certain health conditions. So let's keep the party going and make sure they don't miss out. Help them get this season's vaccines so they'll be there for the moments that matter most. Risk less, do more. Get started at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
The average American is no stranger to medication. In fact, 66% of all U.S. adults use prescription drugs, according to Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. And though there are thousands to choose from, there are only two types of prescription medication. The first are brand name products. These drugs are manufactured and sold by the same company that holds both the patent and the new drug application licenses from the FDA.
There's another type of product called generic drugs. Those products are sold by companies that face competition, and they hold abbreviated new drug application license from the Food and Drug Administration to sell their products into the US. Branded drug manufacturers actually charge very high prices for their products in the US. And in fact, the US is both the largest market for those branded drug products, but also we pay the highest prices for them.
That's Dr. Rena Conti, Associate Professor of Markets, Public Policy, and Law in the Questrom School of Business at Boston University. She says the high prices of brand name products help make generic drugs more appealing to consumers, especially those who take numerous and expensive medications. And though off-brand, this medication must meet specific criteria, like utilizing the same active ingredient, strength, and type of product as its branded counterpart. The FDA also requires off-label drugs to operate under the same strict standards as the brand name ones. This security has aided in the popularity of generic medication.
Approximately 90% of total sales of prescription drugs in the United States are generic.
And though the FDA is clear about prescription medication regulations, one area is kept hidden. The manufacturing locations of generic drugs are commonly held as a trade secret.
There are longstanding economic questions about where certain products are made and what are the determinants of that. We were particularly interested in that question as it relates to the prescription drugs that people take in the U.S., because the most commonly used medical care in the United States is actually prescription drugs. And very surprisingly, many of the drugs that people use every single day appear to be manufactured by many different companies, are actually in short supply or have experienced quality deficits over time.
So Conti, along with a team of researchers, set out to discover where these products are being made and how that location might contribute to supply chain challenges. Her 2021 paper, published in the Journal of Law and the Biosciences, focuses on generic drug production. It's widely known that branded medications mainly operate within the U.S. But Conti says the generic market is a whole different story. While we can purchase generic drugs at a lower cost, she says it comes at a price.
Up until very recently, the label on the product that we get from the pharmacy would not necessarily tell Americans where those products were made. And that meant that consumers and pharmacists and doctors couldn't actually check and couldn't actually shop differently if they wanted to, or buy American if they wanted to.
Conti says now many manufacturers voluntarily list where the final drug product is made on the prescription's label. Unfortunately, the information is not mandatory, and it doesn't reveal where the base active ingredients are made. That information is still protected as a trade secret. The FDA defines trade secret information as any commercially valuable plan, formula, or process that's used to make products. For generic drug companies, the trade secret is where their raw ingredients are sourced and the location of production. And though Conti says the U.S. prescription drug market produces some of the safest and highest quality medication, she worries this trade secret could pose some issues for consumers.
What I have been concerned about is that there appear to be some significant challenges with transparency. Most notably, American consumers can find out where their food is made, where many other things that they use every day are made, and who they're made by. But the US consumers don't actually know who are making very intimate, important consumer products that keep ourselves well, prescription drugs. And we can't shop for quality here because we really don't know where these products were made and by whom.
Which was the driving force of her recent paper. Her team submitted a Freedom of Information Act to the FDA that gave them access to proprietary, non-public data. The information allowed them to evaluate where both the base ingredients and finished products were made, leading them to two main findings.
The first is that the majority of fill and finish, those are the actual drug pills, if you will, are made in the continental U.S. and supplied to U.S. pharmacies, although that manufacturing has increasingly moved overseas.
Conti says that there are three vital components to every prescription: the base ingredients, the fillers, and the final assembly process. Currently, 50% of the fillers and final products are manufactured in America, but that percentage has been on a downward trend.
Secondly, we find that approximately 80% of the base ingredients of generic drugs are being manufactured overseas. And actually, that percentage has been increasing over time. And here, what you should think about is these are the base ingredients. They're active. They're the things that drug companies gather and use to ensure that their final product delivers the clinical effect that American consumers expect from taking these products. Those products are largely made in India and in China, and increasingly so.
According to Conti's research, a main reason for the offshoring is due to cheaper labor and manufacturing cost. This incentive isn't unique to the pharmaceutical industry. However, the concern that comes with offshoring prescription drug production is the risk of interruption. If a political or environmental threat occurs that halts production, Americans lose a majority of the active ingredient providers and nearly half of all generic prescriptions.
Unlike other types of consumer goods, this trend in overseas manufacturing of base ingredients is relatively recent. In other words, we can see a notable intake in the offshoring of manufacturing to India and China that largely starts to occur in the late 2000s, early 2010s.
However, Conti says the biggest concern relates to FDA inspections of those offshore sites.
It's hard to inspect. It's costly to inspect manufacturing plants located in very far-flung places. And those increased costs can lead to two effects. The first is that all plants are inspected. And if so, not all of those plants are inspected potentially to the level of detail that one would expect or is common in domestic manufacturing inspections. And secondly, that it can just simply take a long time to inspect each and every one of these facilities. And the second effect is if you're a manufacturer that knows that inspections may be slightly weaker or not have the periodicity that they do in the domestic market, you may face stronger incentives to cheat.
Conti says the U.S. market has already seen quality lapses, mostly due to these manufacturers not adhering to the FDA's standards.
Quality failures in some of the Indian plants and some of the Chinese plants were in products that people use every day to manage their chronic disease, such as diabetes, HIV, depression. And so when those products are not manufactured to safety and efficacy standards, and they enter into the U.S. supply chain, that is really a fundamental failure of both these companies to adhere to the social compact and do the right thing. But also, frankly, it's a failure of authorities to protect the U.S. public.
In 2010, the pharmaceutical company GlaxoSmithKline pled guilty to charges of contaminated medication produced over the course of 5 years at a Puerto Rican facility. The tainted drugs included a popular antidepressant and medication for type 2 diabetes. And though these failures can be devastating, Conti reminds us that they are far and few between. The relatively rare nature of these issues is what makes them so significant whenever they do occur. The FDA's requirements are among the highest standards in the world. Conti says Americans should feel safe buying and consuming prescription medication.
Although these examples are scary, in general, the U.S. prescription drug market is quite resilient to these supply challenges and also to these quality deficits. It's actually one of the reasons that these failures that I just enumerated are stunning, is because Americans aren't used to having drug products that are low quality or not what they say they are or unsafe. We actually enjoy the safest, most assured quality market for these products worldwide.
Conti credits the companies for investing significant effort and funds, as well as the FDA's oversight for this quality assurance. Her research aims to increase that trust even more through industry transparency.
Our system works actually quite well, and we shouldn't want to remake our system wholeheartedly. Instead, we just need to be careful about these trouble spots.
You can find more information about the FDA standards and guidelines, as well as Dr. Rena Conti and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. This segment originally aired in August 2022. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, the new treatment that speeds up healing time for burn victims, when Radio Health Journal returns.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Family time and get-togethers are where memories are made. Like when Gail and Ed whooped everyone at the card table. But RSV can leave them out of the game, especially if they're 75 plus or over 60 with certain health conditions. So let's keep the party going and make sure they don't miss out. Help them get this season's vaccines so they'll be there for the moments that matter most. Risk less, do more. Get started at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
As part of Jenna Pothier's battle with a rare type of skin cancer, she underwent 3 extraction surgeries. While removing the tumor from her forehead, the doctors also cut out some of the surrounding healthy tissue. This process helps to make sure all of the cancerous cells are removed and lowers the risk of the cancer returning. Unfortunately, it also left Pothier with a sizable wound on her face.
It was a large area on my forehead, about half my forehead. I believe it was like 8 centimeters by 8 centimeters. I like to compare it to like a hockey puck size.
A wound of this size can't be sewn back together. Instead, patients will get a skin graft. The typical procedure involves cutting healthy skin from one part of the body and transferring it over to cover the injury. But instead of following the traditional path, Pothier's physician, Dr. Ian Valerio, presented her with an alternate option, spray-on skin.
It's kind of like a mister, if you picture it, when you mist in spring in the hot summer weather and you're trying to put some cooling agent onto your skin. That's kind of how the spray skin solution works too. So you mist it on. It allows for a very thin covering, and then we put a non-adherent gauze over that to allow for it to heal. And then after 5 to 7 days, you can then unpackage it or unwrap it, and then the spray skin has already started to actually grow into its new position, and those cells are actually growing underneath that. And at first, it doesn't look like a lot's happening, but then if you give it a few days, you start to actually see the effect as the skin starts to repopulate in the areas where it was sprayed to.
Valerio is a plastic and reconstructive surgeon at Massachusetts General Hospital, professor at Harvard Medical School, and executive officer in the U.S. Navy. Both traditional skin grafting and spray-on methods need to use some of the patient's healthy skin, but Valerio says the spray-on technology can be much more conservative. It can expand a piece of skin up to 80 times its size. For example, if your entire back was burned and needed new skin, the device would only need to take a healthy sample size of a credit card. On the other hand, typical skin grafts often need much larger patches of skin.
Think about the extremities, trunk, abdomen. Those skin grafts could be much larger. It could be a small 2x2, 3x3 centimeter wound, all the way up to something that's much larger, including the entire leg. Or if it's a burn patient, it could be even more than that. So we typically say percent of body surface area that's injured. Each leg is 18%, for example. Your arms are 9% each. So if you think about that, if you add up those areas, it depends on the type of trauma you have. So skin grafts can range from 2 to 3 centimeters all the way upwards of hundreds to thousands of square centimeters, depending on the injury that the patient has suffered from.
The most common donor sites for typical skin grafts are the upper arm, inner thigh, and behind the ear. There are different thicknesses needed depending on where the injury is, but Valerio says the surgeon often needs just a thin piece of skin.
We would use a special harvesting device that allows for us to take a very thin piece of skin from, for example, your thigh is probably the most commonly area where this is taken from. So we would take that, what we call dermatome, that would actually then allow for us to shave a very thin piece of skin off of the patient's body and then transfer that to the area of treatment of need, whether it be a different limb, different area on the same limb, to the abdominal area, trunk area, etc.
For Pothier's head wound, Valerio first attached a synthetic graft before she made her decision between the two options.
The original plan was to just kind of my skin naturally grow over that, but that would have taken a much longer time and a much longer healing process, whereas the RECELL spray skin allowed for what we think would have been a better cosmetic outcome and a quicker recovery time.
Since Pothier had just gone through 3 surgeries, she wasn't looking forward to a 4th. Thankfully, it turned out to be a much smoother process than her cancer removal surgeries.
I think part of it was mentally knowing that there wasn't a lot of worry going into it. It was like I had already gotten the all clear that I was cancer-free, so that was a huge weight lifted off my shoulders. And just recovery-wise, it wasn't as bad. It was a little different because they did have to use a small graft site from behind my ear. So I had the additional kind of wound care for the back of my ear as well as on my forehead. But I felt mostly excited about this procedure compared to my other ones. And I was interested to see how the process would go and excited for the process to start happening.
In 2018, RECELL was the first spray-on product to be FDA approved for burns. Last year, just in time for Pothier's surgery, its approval was expanded to treat a range of full-thickness skin defects. And though Valerio says this spray-on technique is often used together with traditional skin grafts, he thinks it will soon become the standard method.
There are a few physicians out there, including myself, that have used this in isolation. It's considered off-label, but we have been actually utilizing this for certain patients with good results. And I do think there could be somewhere in the future where if you have someone with just a superficial to partial thickness injury or conversion of a full thickness injury to a partial thickness injury, where potentially spray skin alone will be enough that you can actually allow for full thickness skin coverage eventually.
There are a few reasons why Valerio prefers RECELL over traditional skin grafting. In addition to conserving healthy skin, the spray-on technology can speed up the healing process of the donor site.
Donor sites are pretty painful, frankly, and they also take their own time to heal. You can apply this back to the donor site to actually allow for it to more rapidly heal, which is a benefit. It allows for a greater coverage. So you can use this in combination with a split-thickness skin graft to enhance the healing potential of the wound and allow for the patient to experience a much decreased time to closure. It does allow for a reduced length of stay in the hospital. This has been shown in burn patients, and it can reduce their length of stay by upwards of 50% for certain burns. And just the fact that you need less donor skin, if you're a very large burn patient or a large trauma patient, it can allow for additional skin sites so you can treat a much larger surface area of skin grafting alone or in isolation for sure.
While it wasn't an approved treatment till recently, Valerio first came across RECELL in 2010. He was in the military treating wounded soldiers in the Afghanistan and Iraq wars.
It was actually invented by Fiona Wood out of Australia, actually, in the 1980s. So it's something that has actually been around for a while, but it actually wasn't in the U.S. markets until investigational trials and around the time frame of when I started utilizing it. I actually had a clinical grant in a trial that was actually done through the military, through the DOD, in order to treat wounded warriors that had substantial skin loss, where we wanted to see if spray skin could be an alternative for treating some of their blast and trauma and burn-related injuries.
Valerio says the technology hasn't changed much since then. Once a small piece of healthy skin is retrieved, it's put into an enzyme that breaks it down into individual cells.
You then put into a buffer solution that can then be sprayed onto the human body in order to treat the soft tissue injury defect that you're proposed treating. When I first started treating wounds with this kit, it was actually what we call a point-of-care kit. So it came in its own individual box kind of container. It had a heating element that was used to actually heat up the enzyme so that you can then put the skin graft into it. Then once a 20 to 30 minute period had transpired and it was ready, we would then scrape it, put it into the buffer solution, and apply it to the patient.
Earlier this year, a new kit was released that streamlines this process even more for physicians. While Valerio believes this technology is the future of skin grafting, he thinks there needs to be more awareness and education around RECELLs so that physicians are comfortable adopting this new practice. You can find more information about Dr. Ian Valerio, Jenna Pothier, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Family time and get-togethers are where memories are made. Like when Gail and Ed whooped everyone at the card table. But RSV can leave them out of the game, especially if they're 75 plus or over 60 with certain health conditions. So let's keep the party going and make sure they don't miss out. Help them get this season's vaccines so they'll be there for the moments that matter most. Risk less, do more. Get started at vaccines.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
When you're rolling Charmin, ultra soft on the potty. This is more, so roll it back, everybody. Charmin's irresistibly soft and hella nice. The crib is always stocked.
It's our potty vibes.
So our cheeks feel fast.
So wet.
Everybody wanna touch the sky.
Charmin Ultra Soft is irresistibly soft and more absorbent, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
Medical notes this week. Is this the unhealthiest time in American history? A new study reveals that type 2 diabetes rose nearly 20% between 2012 and 2022. Though it increased over all sociodemographic groups, poor people had significantly higher rates. Diabetes currently costs the U.S. more than $400 billion and is expected to continue growing in our populations. The research is published in the journal Diabetes, Obesity, and Metabolism. New recommendations for kids with ADHD. Kids with the attention disorder have a higher prevalence of obesity. And though common stimulant medications can be an appetite suppressant, it's just one part of an overall care plan. A research team has concluded that limiting screen time and getting more sleep can significantly help reduce the risk of obesity in kids with unmedicated ADHD. The paper is published in the Journal of Pediatric Psychology. And finally, your pearly whites may be ruining your health. There are many teeth whitening products on the market, but some methods can be dangerous. The bleaching process can break down the tooth's enamel, This makes the teeth more vulnerable to cavities, tooth decay, and sensitivity. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
You're listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
every day. Yeah, yeah.